From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Governor Mike Dunleavy said that while President Donald Trump told governors they can begin reopening their states by May 1st, Alaska will relax restrictions and resume businesses on its own terms.
We're going to be charting our own course that works for Alaska and keeps Alaska healthy, but gets us back to opening up society as soon as we possibly can.
Dunleavy says Alaskans should know some things will be different. There may continue to be restrictions at nursing homes, which house some of Alaskans who are most vulnerable to serious illness from the coronavirus. There will be long-term changes in hygiene, like more frequent hand washing, cleaning counters, and wearing face masks, and people should continue to stay at least 6 feet away from others. In addition, Dunleavy says potential outbreaks in rural communities without hospitals or doctors will be important to guard against. Alaska Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink raised another new practice for Alaskans to consider, keeping a log of what they do and who they interact with. This could help public health workers trace contacts when people become infected with the virus. Zink suggested Alaskans use mobile apps or notebooks to log their activity. Zink also pointed to a positive sign. The number of Alaskans testing positive has been trending down, allowing the state to project further improvement in the future. ConocoPhillips announced more spending cuts for Alaska yesterday as oil prices tumbled to an 18-year low. The oil giant says it's cutting capital spending in the state by another $200 million. That's on top of a $200 million cut the company already announced last month. Conoco did not announce any layoffs yesterday or cuts to oil production in Alaska, but the company says it plans to slash production in the lower 48 and Canada. During a conference call about the cuts, Conoco Chief Financial Officer Don Ouellette said Alaska is in the mix as a spot the company may consider curtailing oil production in the future, but not right now.
Alaska is sold a little bit further forward than lower 48 is, and so the pricing is still acceptable to us. So we don't plan to curtail Alaska in May.
Ouellette said he could not provide projections beyond that because of all the uncertainty. Meanwhile, Alaska North Slope crude fell to under $17 a barrel on Wednesday, the lowest price since early 2002. Conoco's chief executive Ryan Lance says the company doesn't expect oil prices to improve soon as the coronavirus pandemic crushes demand.
We expect prices over the next several months that they will be weak and quite volatile. So we're taking actions that focus on near-term flexibility while also preserving our ability to respond further in either an up or a down direction, depending on the eventual timing and path of the recovery.
In total, Conoco is cutting about 25% from what it had expected to spend on capital in Alaska this year. It says it's shutting down development drilling on the North Slope and ending its winter exploration season early. Native American leaders are raising questions about how $8 billion in federal coronavirus relief for tribes will be distributed. Some say for-profit Alaska Native corporations shouldn't receive a share because the corporations are not tribal governments. Tribes are relying on the infusion of cash after having to shut down casinos, tourism operations, and other businesses that serve as their main moneymakers. Members of Congress are divided on the intent of the legislation. The U.S. Treasury Department will begin distributing the money later this month. It's set a Friday deadline for tribes to submit payment information and supporting documents. Last month, the University of Alaska Southeast closed down its physical campus, removing most students and transitioning to largely online learning. But students and teachers say that transition has not been smooth. From KTOO in Juneau, Pablo Pena has this story.
Robin Gilchrist is a professor of construction technology. She teaches architecture, and normally, her classes are a hybrid of physical and digital learning. Before the pandemic, she was teaching students how to use drafting software. But now her classes are fully online, and without that in-person interaction, she says some students aren't as engaged as she'd hoped they'd be.
So I've been calling them or texting them individually to make sure that they're okay. But, you know, this is very traumatic, and some of my students are working, and now they're not, and so they're probably more worried about how they're going to pay their rent than whether they get an assignment done.
For many students, online learning just isn't compatible with their classwork. Sadie Inman's focus is geography and the environment, as well as outdoor studies.
A lot of the professors don't know what to do. So some of my classes have dropped assignments, and other classes have made up more assignments, and so everything's kind of just upside down.
And on top of the stress of classwork during the pandemic, housing is increasingly becoming an issue. Inman is one of about 150 students who were living on campus before the pandemic. Only about 30 students are still there because they didn't have safe places to go home to. And while Inman was able to find housing through her work as a volunteer firefighter, options were limited for other students. Sage Logan says he left for spring break, and when he returned to Juneau...
2 days after we had returned, or I had returned from my spring break, and that's how many days we had before we could just move out. Like, we had to be moved out by that day. So that was just very startling.
He's now back home in Washington State, living in close quarters with his family. But he feels the impact of being removed from the community.
People are close. You often refer to your professors by their first name. You know, even the chancellor knows students by their first name. And so it's a very familiar kind of feeling. So kind of being removed from that environment feels a little, like it kind of adds a little salt in the wound for this isolation.
But there are still ways for students to stay connected. Online meetups and art therapy sessions are held regularly through the university's social media pages. In Juneau, I'm Pablo Peña.
States across the country are working to reduce crowding in jails and prisons in response to COVID-19. Solutions run the gamut from keeping low-level offenders out to releasing some prisoners early. Alaska falls somewhere in the middle. The court system issued 2 court orders last month aimed at reducing the number of people in jail. But despite an outbreak among staff at Juneau's correctional facility, Governor Mike Dunleavy and the head of the Department of Corrections say early release of inmates is not an option. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has the story.
In Washington State, Governor Jay Inslee signed an executive order this week approving early release for about 1,000 nonviolent offenders. California and North Carolina have also released thousands of prisoners early as states work to limit the spread of COVID-19. But in Oregon, Governor Kate Brown announced this week that she will not release inmates to reduce crowding in state correctional facilities. Earlier this year, Alaska's Department of Corrections was struggling with overcrowding. Facilities statewide were 97% full as the department worked on a now-abandoned plan to send inmates out of state. But in a press conference on Wednesday, Department of Corrections Commissioner Nancy Dahlstrom said crowding is less of a problem now. She said state facilities are now at 89% capacity.
I have a little bit more room than I've had in the last few months. I've been able to have smaller numbers of folks in most of the units. I have room to isolate people when I need to.
Last month, the ACLU of Alaska sent a letter to state leaders asking them to consider ways to reduce the risk of spreading COVID-19 inside state institutions. They suggested releasing inmates at higher risk of serious medical complications from contracting coronavirus. Dahlstrom said Wednesday that she read the letter and is open to suggestions for how to protect inmates. But early release is not on the table.
Should the courts decide to, you know, make some decisions, I will honor that, but I am not looking at that currently.
Governor Mike Dunleavy followed up to Dahlstrom's response at the press conference.
I think we all want to be safe. And not just safe from this virus, but safe from individuals that may do us harm. So,
at Lemon Creek Correctional Center, where multiple staff members have tested positive for COVID-19, there are 30 fewer inmates than there were a month ago. One of them is Jeremy Simile. He and other inmates are confined to their dorms for most of the day in order to reduce social contact among the population. After hearing about other states that have released inmates early, Simile took a poll of the other men in his dorm, also known as a mod.
Of the 15, 9 are within a year, 11 are nonviolent offenders. So if they follow the guidelines that other states have followed and push people to parole board that were within a year, or people that were within a year of their release date, if they push them out the door, that would leave 5 people in my mod.
Simile says he has about 5 years left on his sentence, so he doesn't expect to be let out early. But he says having fewer people living in close proximity to him would give him some peace of mind. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
As Juneau residents continue to hunker down, those without homes will have a few more options for places to sleep as the weather warms up. The city extended the cold weather shelter's contract for 3 more months this week and plans to open its new campground Tuesday. The cold weather shelter is operated by St. Vincent de Paul and moved to the Juneau Arts and Culture Center last month to allow more space between cots. It will be open from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. The Mill Campground is closer to downtown than the now-closed Thane Campground. It's up the hill along South Franklin Street, behind the Franklin Cruise Ship Dock. The city says the new campground is safer and has 20 tent platforms, lockable bear-proof storage containers, hand washing stations, and bathrooms. Parks and Recreation will manage the site and register campers for free. Staff from the City Housing and Homelessness Department will also regularly visit the campground to help connect people with social services. The state won't be bringing more ferries into service until COVID-19 travel restrictions are relaxed and demand for passenger service increases. That's according to a statement on Thursday from the Department of Transportation. The Alaska Marine Highway System is currently running just 2-day boats, one linking southeast communities around Upper Lynn Canal and a shuttle between Ketchikan and Metlakatla. The delay in activating longer-range vessels with staterooms means the sea link between Alaska and Bellingham, Washington, will remain severed. There will also be no Prince William Sound service between Valdez and Cordova. Sailings to Pelican and Tenakee Springs in May have also been canceled. An international partnership to boost Alaska's broadband connectivity has ended after one of the companies collapsed because of the coronavirus pandemic's economic fallout. The Alaska Journal of Commerce reported OneWeb Satellites filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, effectively ending a deal the company made with Anchorage-based telecom Microcom Incorporated. And finally, let's take a look at the Juneau and Northern Admiralty Island forecast from the National Weather Service for the weekend. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-30s, light winds. Saturday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-50s, light winds. Sunday, sunny, highs in the mid-50s. And the Geophysical Institute's aurora forecast for the weekend, too, auroral activity will be low. Weather permitting, low-level displays will be visible low on the northern horizon, as far south as Anchorage and Juneau. And that's it for the KTOO News Update for Friday, April 17th, 2020. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.